this opportunity to be here tonight. We ask God for you to be with us, Lord, in this service. Speak to us tonight, dear God, and guide us, we pray, Father. I pray for those that aren't here tonight, Father. Many, Lord, are not here because of work. Some are out of town and that, Lord. And I pray, dear God, to be with them, watch over them, bring them back home safely, Lord, and bless them, I pray. And we ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to continue to speak on Galatians tonight. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated with them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave not place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that means not for a moment, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, now verse 6, he's actually going back up and he's actually talking about the same ones in Jerusalem there that he went and met with, which he talked about in verse 2. But these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But counterwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcised was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we would remember the poor the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, freeing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And that word dissimulation means hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked up not uprightly according to the truth, the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You may be seated. Now, we last week, Thursday, we had actually covered the first chapter there of Galatians. And, you know, in the the first chapter, Paul made a statement, said that he didn't receive this of man, he wasn't taught this of man, but he received what he was preaching, the gospel, he received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said that when the Lord had appeared to him as the great light, and you know, and then commissioned him in that, he didn't immediately go up to Jerusalem to confer with them or meet with them to say, I believe the message now, boys. Y'all tell me how I should be preaching this. But instead, he went out to the desert, and he spent time, you know, Paul, as I said, he was a student of the law. He was a student of the writings of the prophets of the Old Testament. Paul knew the Old Testament inside and out. But what he needed to go back and look at it, because now God, you know, had spoke to him through the great light and told him, look, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. So now Paul has to go back and say, okay, now I got to go back and look at everything that I thought I knew the ins and out of all this, and I got to go back over the scripture, and I've got to take what's been showed to me now that Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new, and now I've got to go back and relook at the old then, and I got to see Jesus back there. And so Paul went back and he studied it. And when after Paul came out for 3 years, I believe he spent studying it, it says in the first chapter of Galatians, and then he comes back out, but then he's rooted and grounded, you know, and he's ready to preach. And if we can relate it in this way, you know, the message of that day and you know, of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, and we realize that Paul, one of the differences here was that Paul was to be, he had a prophetic ministry, and he was to be the prophet messenger to the first Gentile church age that would make up the Gentile bride that would be raptured in the end time. And so it was the alpha, it was the start of it all. And so he wasn't just an apostle or a missionary. He wasn't, you know, just one of the, Paul had another role to fulfill. He had to, and so Paul actually, then you realize, he received the full revelation for the day and the age to start out that the first church age of the Gentile church. You know, Peter was given the ministry to the circumcision, as Paul was saying. In other words, to the Jews, you know. But Peter then was actually given the commission to actually open the door to the Gentiles. But after Peter opened the door to the Gentiles, then Paul was given the commission then to take and actually establish the churches of the Gentiles and spread the word and actually feed the Gentile sheep of this Gentile bride that was starting out, and for them to grow in the revelation of the word. And it was important God through Paul to establish how things were going to be at the start of the Gentile church ages, because it was going to be a pattern to be followed all through the ages. And Paul actually in his ministry, you realize his ministry actually, it set the standard and pattern for every God-called minister that would come thereafter. And Brother Branham testifies to that when he gives the account and says, when the angel said, you know, you'll have to be judged if you're accepted and your people will be accepted. And he says, will Paul have to stand like that? And he said, yes. And he said, well, I preach what Paul preached. And Brother Branham, you know, he continuously would go back and reiterate on that, how he preached what Paul preached, and he would point back and to the things that Paul said, that if I or even an angel from heaven or any other man come and bring you any other thing than what I've delivered, let him be accursed. The word accursed, we covered that some time ago from when we were covering Corinthians, Maranatha, however you say that word now. I don't got it in front of me, but it means, you know, for them to be accursed means you shun them, you get away from them. So, but Paul, he went up to Jerusalem. And when he went up there, you know, he makes this statement, said that as he met, he said, those who seem to be somewhat. Now, what was he talking about here? These ones that were up in Jerusalem, and look, we're not downing them, and the different examples that I'm to give you tonight, I'm not trying to cast anything down on anybody, but sometimes we as people, men, being human, you know, they get to thinking that because, well, look, we were with Jesus physically. We were his disciples physically there with him. So that makes us something. That gives us some kind of standing, you know. Look at you can look at in the book of Acts, the second chapter, when they were waiting in the upper room. And they said, we've got to pick somebody to replace Judas. And what was their criteria? Their criteria was, well, it's got to be somebody that's been with us in Jesus' meetings. I remember one time there was a church looking for a pastor, and because some of the people in the church had been in Brother Branham's meetings, they felt like that one of the qualifications they had to have for the pastor was it had to be a man who had been in Brother Branham's meetings. Brother Branham points this out about how they picked the disciples. They cast lots and they picked Matthias. He said, Matthias never did anything. He said, they picked Matthias. He said, but God chose Paul. So, you know, Paul goes up there and so he's letting you know, they kind of thought they were something, you know. And of course, Paul brings out how they had heard how he had persecuted the religion of Jesus Christ before, and Paul, you know, he says, you know, he said them that seem to be somewhat in conference, he said they didn't add anything to me. Now, some years ago, I had been visiting with Brother Donnie Reagan, and he and I, just the two of us, were talking. Brother Donnie was sharing a lot of different things when he shared with me when he first came to the message. And you know, Brother Donnie had already been preaching for some time. And so Brother Donnie, you know, had been a God-called minister. And so you realize that that God had already been training him in just how to preach, how to study, and these different things, you know. It's just, he hadn't opened his eyes to the truth yet at that time. But when his eyes became open to the truth, then there were certain ministers, a couple of ministers in particular, that were from the South, and one of them's passed away now, one's still living, and they seemed to be, as Paul said, they seemed to be somewhat in the message. And they're good brothers. I'm not doubting those brothers trying to say anything about them. I'll just tell you who it was. It was Brother Tim Pruitt and Brother Danny Williams. Brother Danny Williams has done passed away now. But Brother Donnie told me, he said, those two brothers got him down there to go fishing, and the two of them got him out in a boat, and they began to give to him, oh, this is this and this is that about the message. And he said they started laying down, one of the things they were laying down to him is, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't give gifts. We don't do this with that. And he said they were just, They're really laying it down about Christmas and many other things in that. And when they got done laying all this down, Brother Donnie had done been studying. So Brother Bonnie just like Paul said, they didn't add anything to me. But the counterwise, he said. So Brother Donnie just turned it right back around, brought them out all the things they were saying and all the other things Brother Branham said about Christmas and other things and all that, and kind of set them straight. You know, and that, because, you know, there was a time, friends, you know, where it was good God called ministers. I'm not talking about all these rascals and things that you maybe have had contact with over the years out here. I'm talking about actually good God called Holy Ghost filled ministers. Sometimes, you know, one of the things they had to learn was, we got to get away from this legalism. You know, there was times that it's been them that would, they would latch on to one thing that Brother Branham said, and then they'd go around without actually exploring the whole thing out, and they'd go around laying down the law on some of these things. You know, and then when you take a step back and actually begin to study on it, and that, then you find out, well, that's not the whole scope of it. You know, it's like one time some years ago, we had a minister came here and visited. So this has been several years ago. I think I was actually still living over by the Moran, so it's been more than 20 years ago. And he come here and visited, and he actually had been originally from here and that, but he came here and visited, and he preached, and he got up, and man, he just laid it down about women not working, you know. And here, especially at that time, we had a lot of sisters in the church working. You know, and so, but he laid it down with such a legalistic stand and everything. Here I had to come on a Thursday night after that and bring a teaching and bring out everything Brother Branham said, the things that he had quoted, plus everything else, and bring the right balance on the whole thing, you know. And so sometimes there are some they read and they, you know, like these ones that talk, Brother Donnie, I just happened to think of that when I was studying on this today. You know, as Paul said, they thought they were something, he said, but they didn't add anything to me. You know, and Paul had already so studied it out and things, you know, that then when, after Paul had been up there and left, then later, Peter came down to Antioch, which was where among the Gentiles, and Paul was down there and had been preaching down there, and so Peter comes down there to visit with Paul down there among the Gentiles, and so Peter gets down there, and he's not with any of his other Jewish brethren. He's down there by himself with Paul. He gets down there, and he gets to fellowship with these Gentile believers, and he's sitting, and he's eating with them, you know, and that. And then while he's down there doing all this, you know, and he's happy and he's enjoying the fellowship and everything else, then some of his Jewish brothers from Jerusalem happen to come down there. And when they come down there, he's like, oh. So he starts withdrawing from the Gentiles. Like, oh, I wouldn't eat with them. And Paul called his hand on it. He said, I told him to his face. I withstood him to his face and said, you're a hypocrite. Now, Peter was a God-called, Holy Ghost-filled man. But you realize Paul was the messenger to the first Gentile church age. And so Paul was showing him, hey, look, these Gentiles that have received and come under the blood of Jesus Christ, they're just as holy as you circumcised Jews. And he pointed him and he said, look, sometimes the Jews, you know, they got to believe in, because even after they come to Jesus Christ now, they still got to believe in, they, well, look at Peter. When God first came and spoke to Peter, you know, to tell him to go down to Cornelius' house and that, Peter withstood it. He balked at the thing. I'm not going down there and associating with them Gentiles. I have no unclean thing has ever passed my lips. Remember the vision? And here they, even though they had come to and accepted Jesus Christ, and here they were, which was friends, except the gospel of Jesus Christ, it actually was different than what the gospel of the or the law that the Jews was preaching, you know, and all of their traditions and their organization of the Jews, and that because those that stayed with that, they were against the Christians. But even though here they were a Christian church, Peter and all the rest of them, they still thought because they kept the law that it made them more holy, more righteous. And so Paul here in Galatians 2, he's calling their hand on it. He's saying, oh, no, no, no. You know, it's not by your works of the law. If it is, then Christ died in vain. It's by the grace of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, look, I'm dead to the law, but I live in Christ. And that's why Paul makes the statement about, you know, because they were trying to still push the law of things like, especially circumcision, onto the Gentiles. And Paul withstood that. And that's why Paul, talking about the law, he said, for if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. So what he was saying was, look, if I'm telling you, nobody's going to be justified. Paul brings that out here. He used the word justified, I think, four times down there in those verses. Nobody can be justified by the law, he said. And he said, we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So you find Paul here, all them ones, Peter and James and different ones that came down here who thought they were something, here was Paul saying, I'm bringing some correction to you. I'm setting y'all straight on this. You're not looking at this right. You may have had the message, but you have brought some leavening in over here with you from the Jewish religion. There's a lot of times people will do that when they come in from a, you know, some other denomination or something and come on into this message. They want to cling to some of these things that they felt that those things were right. I'll let go. You proved me this is wrong. You proved me that's wrong. I'll let go of speaking in tongues. I'll let go of some of these other things. But oh, I believe this other thing's right. And there's people, that's why some of them, you know, they come into messaging and say, well, I'm not going to wear any jewelry. Where are they bringing that from? Their denominational teaching. Brother Bram never taught that. You know, but they'll bring in things that they carry from what they had before over into this. And then you got people it was something that I had to address when I first came here, Pastor. It was people that they weren't carrying things necessarily themselves directly from some other denomination or whatever they've been in, but they were carrying things from some other message preacher that they had sat under that said, Brother Branham said this and Brother Branham said that, and Brother Branham never said any of it. Brother Jim knows what I'm talking about when I say things like that. Some of them ones who claim to be message preachers and telling everybody, well, you know, trying to teach them this is the message, this is what Brother Bram said, and Brother Bram that, you know, and you said, well, I can't find that message. He told me privately. Well, them who think themselves to be somewhat, Paul said, add nothing to me. You know, and you know, speaking of that, you know, and Paul, actually, you can see the character of Paul when you read through these letters of Paul. You can see the character. You can see that Paul had the power and demonstration. You look at the miracles that actually took place and happened in Paul's ministry. You know, you look at people being delivered of devils, people being healed of the sick. You know, and that, but there'll be people, like I said, that they'll bring things over into this message, you know, and they try to mix it in with this message, and you can't do that. I remember years ago, my mother will remember this, years ago, I was just a kid. I didn't actually understand a whole lot back then, you know, but I do remember it happening, and I've been told the story over and over again by my parents and that, but we were at a camp meeting years and years ago. It was up in Michigan, but it was before they ever had those camp meetings at Faha Low Park, if any of y'all have been there. It was before that. I don't even remember where that campground exactly was up there, but it was one of the first camp meetings they were having up there, and we went to it. And we were there, and the Carpers, Brother and Sister Carper and their family were there with us and that, and some of the other people from the church that we were going to at that time and that. And so they had some preacher get up, and I don't even recall his name, but it was at the end of one of the services, a night service, and he got up and he started going through this whole thing about tarrying for the Holy Ghost, and he says, we need to tarry. If we had a tarry here all night, and you had people coming up to the altar, you know, and everything, and they were just going to tarry there and keep that service going all night and everything, you know, and but there was such a you know, I couldn't feel everything at that time as a young boy, but I was watching all these things, and my parents told me there was such an eerie feeling that came in there, and when it did, Dad got us, and Brother Carper and his wife got their family in that, and we left out of the tabernacle and went back to our rooms, and left them in there to tarry. Well, now let me tell you something. Look what Brother Branham says here. This is in Israel in a church. He said, people will say, let's have a tarrying meeting. Glory to God. Let's tarry for the Holy Ghost. He said, there is no such thing now. He said, tarry don't mean pray. Tarry means wait. And he said, how many knows the word tarry means wait? Okay, he said, well, Jesus said, wait up there in the city of Jerusalem into the power until the promise is given to you. He said, now, I don't know what they were doing. They were probably praying. I don't know. But after that, they never had to wait again. So Brother Remus pointed out, when they were, the 120 were in the upper room, and evidently that's what this brother was pulling from, about let's tarry, you know. He said, evidently, when they're in the upper room, of course, Jesus told them, tarry here until it happens. But you got to realize, it was going to be the first time. It had never happened before. So what were they actually waiting on? For Jesus to fulfill his part so that his spirit and life could come back and fall on them in that upper room. So they were waiting there. Brother Branham says, now, I don't really know what they were doing up there. And, you know, Brother Branham, in different places, he'll kind of dramatize perhaps what they might have said in different things at different times. You know, you think this is it yet? Nope, it's not it yet. You know, but Brother Ram said, after that time, no one ever had to tarry again and wait. He said, the scripture says, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles. They weren't waiting and tarrying. And he says, and Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them. He said, isn't that right? He said, see, no waiting. The Holy Ghost was there then. He says, and it gave them the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the confirmation of their faith. So I thought, I came across this today, and it reminded me of that story of what had happened and things. And I thought, well, evidently these brothers who at that time were preaching the message had never read this. And so where did they get that from? They didn't get it from Brother Branham. They brought that leavening in over here from some of their teaching they had got from somewhere else before they came to the message. Look, Paul tells you that when Paul came to the truth of the hour, Paul said, I had to forget everything I thought I knew. All those things that I had been taught under great teachers and Gamaliel and all that, he said, I had to put all that aside. I had to forget all that. You know, that's why I've told people over the years, don't come in here and trying to sift through all the stuff you've been taught in the past from, you know, look, friends, first of all, consider the source of wherever you got that stuff from. There was people that came in here, and look, I'm not trying to speak ill of nobody, but I'm going to tell you, friends, whatever they had got from them two Martin brothers over there in Arkansas, they should have thrown all that in the trash. And I'm not going to stop there. Don't go back and re-dig up any tapes of Jerry Bell and think you can glean anything from it. The man don't even believe the message. Don't go back and try to glean anything from tapes of Jeff Jenkins. He don't even believe the message. Paul said, they thought they were somewhat. He said, they didn't add anything to me. They thought they had a reputation. They didn't add anything to me. Now, that wasn't Paul actually trying to speak ill of them. But Paul was making a statement to these Gentiles. Hey, look, I want to tell you something. What you're getting, it's come from God. And God has vindicated me and called me to be this messenger. And I've been thoroughly vindicated in my ministry by Jesus Christ, in not only in word, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And, you know, when a man... like I'd mentioned about Brother Donnie, when you know, there are times there's men who've already called to preach and they've been preaching the Bible and things, and then God opens their eyes and they come to the knowledge of this end time truth, this message. Well, you know, when they come to the knowledge of the truth, what they ought to do is what the good ones like Brother Donnie and different ones did do, and my dad and different ones that. Set yourself down and begin to study it out. Because now you've realized, hey, I might have been preaching before, but what I was preaching really wasn't anything. Now I've got to find out, because now I'm going to have something to say. If you don't believe me, friend, sometimes go and listen to some of the, turn on the radio or somewhere and listen to some of these other preachers out there. No matter how great a speaker they are, how great they can put something together and present it in that, outside of this end time truth, friends, they really don't got anything to say. When you come as a preacher, when you come to this, all of a sudden you're like, now I'm going to actually have something to say. I'm not just going out telling people how to be good citizens, live good and morally. But I've actually, now there's word to be said that's actually life-changing. And it's actually preparing, like, look, Brother Branham said this about Paul. Let me find it a minute. He says, this is actually, you can find this in the Ephesians Church Age, in the Church Age book. He said, Paul had been the means of bringing in multitudes of Gentile sheep. He fed them and cared for them until they brought forth righteous fruit and were prepared to meet the Lord as part of the Gentile bride. So here's Paul in the first stage starting out. What was he doing with these people? They're the beginning of the Gentile bride. So, friends, they had to be prepared by his ministry that at the end of their life, they were actually ready to be part of the bride that you're part of, and actually ready. Look, friends, their lives already lived. How many years has it been that they've been gone from this earth? But they got to be ready to be joined up with you when you get ready to leave here. Because that Gentile bride's got to be complete. Now, we realize there were those that come out of, especially certain ages of Martin Luther and John Wesley, and that they didn't actually have the complete truth. It wasn't all revealed yet, because it wasn't supposed to be restored and completely revealed until the last messenger came. But they're still part of this Gentile bride. And they believed up to the whatever portion of light that God had actually opened up to the believers at that time. There was a restoring that had to take place of the word, because it had got lost some time before the time of Martin Luther. So there had to be a restoration begin to happen. And a restoring. Brother Branham said, Paul was the greatest missionary since Jesus Christ. He said, I just think of that little Jewish brother. He couldn't sit still. There were thousands in Jerusalem that hadn't been converted, but he had to go somewhere else and somewhere else. The whole world must hear about the gospel as far as Paul could take it, and how he did his best to do it. And his messages and his writings still live on immortal today because he spoke of Christ Jesus. You see such a place of importance and how important it was for God to do with Paul what he did and get this started off that way, so that at the end, when the final messenger came, he could say, I preached what Paul preached. The Alpha, now the Omega. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. I had a little bit of technical electronic difficulties before I came out here, and I couldn't get my notes to load into the program I usually use, so I had to use it through something else. Make do while I was up here to preach this. It was a little different, and sometimes the little glitches happen. You can't figure out what's going on. I didn't have time to sit down and figure it any further, but the Lord was still with us, and it helped me to get this where I could read it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, for, Lord, how you've come and spoke to us, dear God. And Lord, we thank you for this end time truth that you have given us, dear God. And Lord, I look back, dear God, just in my lifetime, from childhood in this message, dear God, and all the things that I witnessed and things that happened and experiences, Lord, that I was witness to and part of, dear God, and you know, how many different men, dear God, that have crossed paths with that said, you know, God told me this and God told me that, and Lord, you find out none of those things panned out, Lord. You know, Father, how many different times, Lord, I've sat in meetings and had some preacher get up and try to say, well, this particular year is when it's all going to happen, and type things, Lord, and try to use numbers and different things and put it together and say it's going to happen this year, you know. And then here we are, you know, Lord, goodness, so years and years down the road from that, Lord, and we're still looking for your coming, Lord. We don't want to. We want to stay right with the word that the messenger brought, and we don't want to wander off and drift out on some limb somewhere. So many, dear God, have drifted out and ran out on limbs, dear God, and thinking they got some kind of a doctrine or a new revelation, and they get out there, and Lord, and they got no way back. Lord, we don't want to be running after those things. And we thank you, Lord, for all these years, Lord, for you keeping your hand on us and just, Lord, keep guiding our steps, Lord, and keeping us right on the path, dear Lord. We praise you and thank you for it tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.